for the invitation. So in this talk, I would like to discuss a formulation of the Monge-Kantorovich in terms of as a generalization. Of the geodesic distance between points and this provides a kind of a different point of view on this optimal transportation problem where you explicitly use an interpolation variable, and the advantage of that is, in my opinion, that this formulation is much more flexible, and there are many possible generalizations of any kind, including transportation of currents, so I would like to discuss today. And since I will have the opportunity to give the first talk next week about generalization with transportation with constraints, and in particular transportation, incompressible transportation problem, for instance, which are related to incompressible fluid mechanics. Okay, so my starting point is very simple. So I am given some convex domain in RD, and so let me consider two points x0 and x1 in RD in this domain, and of course, since D is convex, we know that the geodesic is given by a straight line. And I will use this notation for the straight line. Capital X of S will be 1 minus S x0 plus S x1. And we know that this curve X minimizes the integral from 0 to 1 of C of X prime of S dS. Over all curves such that at the end point are x0 and x1, and here C can be any convex function. And of course, this is just a Jensen inequality, right? Okay, so now we can do. So, by the way, this is a very variational problem. It's convex, no problem, right? So there is apparently nothing to do. But let's try to play the game of relaxation theory in calculus of variation, which consists in replacing geometrical object by generalized geometrical object. So here, what we can do is we can attach to X a pair of measures on the domain D, but we introduce a new interpolation variable, S. And so this measure will be defined by rho S of X. S and X is just the delta mass distributed along the curve, right? And we can also attach a vector value measure, capital E, which is the same as rho, but multiplied by x prime of s, delta x minus x of s. Okay, so depending on the field, some people would call that a Young's measure, or this can be also seen as a current associated to the curve, and so on and so on. So now I would like to see the formulation of this problem in terms of this measure. Maybe I can use micro. And of course, we can notice that these two measures are linked by some compatibility condition. The first one is we have this differential relation between them. So the S derivative of rho is balanced by the divergence of E. So here, well, I use this notation, dx1, dxd, n dot is the inner product. Okay, and so, well, I mean, we can easily check that if we take a test function phi of s and x, and we integrate ds phi against rho plus grad phi against dE, double integral. Well, using the definition, we see that this is nothing but that the dds of phi of s ds, and therefore, by definition, and therefore, we get, so this is a simple integral, we get phi of 1 x1 minus phi of 0 x0. Okay? So we have this relationship for all test function. And this is just the weak formulation of this PDE. And in this weak formulation, we also include the boundary data. That is, we also include the fact that the curve starts from x0 and go to x1. So we will keep this relationship later. And now, what about the cost? So you see that E is absolutely continuous with respect to rho, and it has a density. So, rho, and let's call E over rho the density, will be denoted by small e of s and x. And by Jensen inequality, we see that the integral of cx prime of s ds is larger than the double integral of c of e 0. Right? Because and using the convexity of C. This is a Jensen again. Okay. Yeah, that's right. This is a general fact for any curve going from x0 to x1. Yeah, that's correct. So, by the way, this infimum is just C of x1 minus x0, right? Okay, so we see, just because we have embedded the curves in a larger framework, that clearly the C of x1 minus x0 is larger than the infimum of this problem, that is CE d rho with the constraint that ds rho plus divergence of rho E is 0, and the boundary condition that at the end point, the density, the measure should coincide with the delta measure at x0 and x1. Okay? And, well, the claim is very easy. See that, in fact, we have equality. Which means that we can define the geodesic distance in this way, if we wish. So, actually, this is fairly well known in the case where C is just the length. Right? This is the widely used formulation of that. So, no, I shouldn't erase that. And maybe I can give you just, I mean, the proof is so simple that, I mean, the proof is not surprising because you are just relaxing a convex problem, so, I mean, it's, there must be no gap. Okay, but let's just check that in order to see you the Hamilton-Jacobi equation coming up in a natural way. Okay, so we have this inequality because this was minimized among all paths, capital X, and this is, we have extended the notion of path to this generalized path rho e. By the way, I will use the notation that I will say that rho e pushes forward rho 0 to delta x0 delta x1, or rho e transports delta x0 to delta x1. Right. In order to, for this box. Or more precisely for the for this relationship. Okay, so the reasoning is very simple. We start from this thing and we just notice that we can express the constraint which is linear in the variable rho e, which was denoted before by capital E. And so we can, in some sense, include these things in the framework. So we have C of E, and we are arranging the terms with a change of sign, so we should get something like that. And I prefer, yeah, we can. This is here. Right? Okay, and here, well, of course, here we don't need duality to flip over the two soup, the soup and the inf. And if we perform the inf in E first, well, this is very easy because we see that the best possible choice for E, since C is convex, let's assume that C is a nice convex function of, if you prefer, we can take this, if you are not familiar with Legendre transforms. But in the general case, the best choice would be to take E to be, to take grad C of E to be equal to grad phi, or if you prefer E to be the grad, the convex conjugate of C composed with grad phi. Right? And if we do that, we see that what is in parentheses will be just equal to ds phi minus the C star of grad phi. Okay? And if you have problem with C star, just do the computation with the square. Okay? So, therefore, we see that this number is just the infimum for all. This should be a non-negative measure of the double integral of rho time minus ds phi minus C star of grad phi plus E1 x1 minus phi 0 of x0. And now it's very straightforward to compute this infimum because it's a linear in rho, and we just get that the supremum for all phi satisfying the differential inequality ds phi plus C star of grad phi non-positive of phi 1 x1 minus phi 0 x0. Right? And here we see the Hamilton-Jacobi equation coming up as the equation for the dual variable phi, the Lagrange multiplier phi. Okay. So, maybe I can erase this. And now, in this case, it is very simple to guess a good candidate for phi. So, can I erase that? No. Well, you think so? Okay, and oh, maybe. How can I get this? Well, and now we have to use our favorite Hamilton-Jacobi solver. But in this case, there is a very simple guess. We can take phi of S of X to be linear in X. So let's take a linear candidate phi, z dot x, where z will be chosen later. And in order to satisfy, let's say, the equality, it is enough to have minus s c star of z. And then this solves the Hamilton-Jacobi equation. Ds phi plus c star of grad phi is 0, right? And now we just compute the phi 1 x 1 minus phi 0 x 0. And this will be just the z x 1 minus c star of z minus z x 0. Right? And therefore, we conclude that starting from the original value here, this is certainly larger than the supremum, because this is a particular choice of phi, of course. So this will be larger than the supremum in Z of this number, and which is precisely C of x1 minus x0. Right? So there is no gap. And in particular, we conclude that the generalized infimum the original infimum among curves capital X and the generalized infimum among generalized curve. Rho capital E. Okay? Because it's a very special case where I will say a comment about that in a moment, yeah. But there are several choices possible here. This is not the only one. Yeah. Okay, so there is no gap, and therefore this is a crazy way to define the geodesic distance, right? The advantage of that is the boundary. I mean, if we look at the formula, right, here, this also can be written as phi at time as s equal 1, delta x1 minus... Well, I should write the other way around. Delta x1 acting on phi at s equal 1 minus delta x0 acting on phi at s equal 0. So the advantage of the new formulation is that there is no problem to define this problem for probability measure and not only delta measures. So this suggests to define the optimal C cost between two probability measures, rho 0 and rho 1 on D, by setting looking at the infimum of the same function as before, so it will be C of E d rho with the constraint here, that is to say ds rho plus divergence of rho E is 0 and rho assume the values rho 0 at s equal to 0 and rho 1 at s equal to 1. Okay? So this is a natural way to define the optimal cost between two probability measure by saying that. And so, of course, you expect the result. The proposition is this is nothing but this is the same as the usual Monge-Kantorovich or Monge-Kantorovich cost, which is usually defined to be the infimum of the double integral of C of x minus y integrated on a measure mu with projection rho 0 and rho 1. The thing that we have seen so many times this week. Okay, and the proof is basically the same as this one. The only difference is, it's very simple. The only difference is here you have really to solve the Hamilton-Jacobi equation in the general case. So the proof is almost the same. The only thing to notice that we get that this number, so let me call it capital IC of rho 0, 1. We have, by exactly the same reasoning, the lower bound with this Hamilton-Jacobi constraint, inequality constraint, right? So it's exactly the same reasoning, same as before. Well, I mean, I have to say something just to say how you build you have to use at least something which is the rho in that case will be defined by the collection of the straight line pushing the points and weighted by mu. So this will be like delta of x minus 1 minus TA minus TB integrated in A and B. And this is an S and not a T. Right? And the E will be defined by weighting this integral by the speed along the rays, which is just B minus A. Okay, and once you have that, you use the Jensen inequality, you get the first lower bound, and blah, 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 and you get this result first. So this is the first step. And the next step is, it's finished now, because we know how to solve the Hamilton-Jacobi equation with a convex Hamiltonian. This is the Lax-Hopf formula. And therefore, this supremum is also, I mean, is the same as solving. Well, now I can use a different notation. And here I take the solution at time one of the Hamilton-Jacobi equation, and this is given by the classical formula. Which is here. And this is in D. Right? And as we have seen this week already, this is just the dual formulation of that. So this is Kantorovich duality. Tells us that this is equal to this guy. Okay? So it's very simple to relate these two unknown. Right? So now we have a slightly different framework to define the Monge-Kantorovich cost or problem in terms of this generalized curve. So, what is the point with this? So, let me take a list of advantage of this formulation. Well, first of all, it's good for it might be good for numerics. And this was the motivation of this formulation, which was introduced, I think, in a paper of Jean-David Benhamou and myself, Numerische Math, in 2000, I guess. And it's good for numerics for one reason is if you wish to use a convex minimization technique, this Kantorovich measure lives on D cross D. So the dimension of mu is 2D. And if you use a general software for linear programming, this will be the dimension of your space is 2D. With the interpolation variable, well, it's not optimal in the sense that you don't solve the problem in D dimension, but it's D plus 1. Because you have to you add to the dimension of the space the interpolation variable. So this is some improvement. If in a D plus 1 dimensional space, also mu lives in 2D. Yeah, that's right, but it seems that's correct. But so far, I mean, I think it's still challenging to have a really efficient code for that. And last year in Toronto, there was no miracle solution, so every year we expect a better numerical solution for that. So, of course, this is D plus 1 is not optimal. Anyway. No, but if you wish, I mean, this constraint about here you have two variables. So in some sense, it doesn't seem to be very easy to get rid of that. Okay, so but this is maybe I can keep this. But I think the main advantage is the flexibility, because it's a less rigid framework than the usual Munch-Kantorovich one. Because you see that, I mean, you can. This is a particular case of minimizing this kind of thing with the constraint that rho e pushes rho zero to rho one. Okay, so you can play with more general functional. So the one we saw correspond to that classical MK. Correspond to they correspond to convex functional which are homogeneous of degree 1. Okay, so there are some obvious generalization. Of course, we can weight this kind of functional by the space variable, because we have this freedom. So in this way, you can do, you can replace a convex domain by a more general manifold. This is one way to do extension to Riemannian manifold, because in some sense, you have an infinitesimal description of the motion, and therefore there is no problem to do that in the manifold. Another quite interesting, I think, generalization is to consider functional that are not Munch-Kantorovich type, that are not homogeneous of degree 1. Degree 1. And let me concentrate on one example. It's when you take k of rho and e to be a convex function, not like this, but like this, which doesn't depend on rho. And more specifically, the square. Okay? Because this is... then it becomes a very easy variational problem, because we have... So I can write that directly in a dual form. So we have to solve this. And this will be the integral of rho ds phi minus e grad phi plus the boundary term. That I will use a short notation for that, like this. This stands for phi at s. Because we immediately see that, I mean, this is really a very, very nice minimization problem. We immediately see that the optimal solution will be obtained by differentiating this functional with respect to phi rho and E. So when we differentiate with respect to E, we get that grad C of E is equal to grad phi, or if you prefer, that E is the gradient of the dual of C of grad phi. So in the quadratic case, we just get that E is grad phi. And more interesting, we see that differentiating with respect to rho, that ds phi is zero. So which means that the Lagrange multiplier doesn't depend on S, on the interpolation variable. So it's a function of X. And therefore, if you look at the constraints, the transportation constraint, which is that ds rho plus divergence of E is zero, because, well, E doesn't depend on S, right? So this is a function of S only. So ds rho doesn't depend on X. So it means that rho is linear in S. So rho is just the stupid, the boring interpolation of rho 0 and rho 1, the one that we are usually not interested in, right? So this implies that rho is linear in S. And in addition, this means that the divergence of E is just minus rho 1, or minus the divergence of E is rho 1 minus rho 0. So we recover some kind of C Laplacian equation. And in particular, in the quadratic case, we just recover the Laplace equation for rho 1 minus rho 0. So the Laplacian can be seen as a kind of transportation equation in this funny way, by playing around with the functional. And maybe it is interesting to notice that by doing that, we recover the... I mean, of course, here you get the... Well, let's concentrate on the case, on the quadratic case. So we have this Poisson equation with, actually, if you look carefully, with Neumann boundary condition on the boundary of D. And what is the relationship between this and the transportation? So the transportation, you have this density and this equation. And so this equation can be written, at least in the special case when rho 0 and rho 1 are bounded away from 0, we can write that as the following continuity equation with a velocity field E, which is given by grad phi of x divided by 1 minus s rho 0 of x plus s rho 1 of x. And now, if we integrate, assuming that everything is smooth, so for instance, in some sense, assuming that rho 0 and rho 1 are smooth functions bounded away from 0, so phi will be smooth. There will be no division by 0, so everything will be smooth. This is a nice vector field, and therefore we can compute the trajectory of this vector field. So we can define the trajectory like this. Ds of capital X of S and X given by E of S and capital S and X with the initial condition given by x. So we integrate a smooth vector field, and by construction, this map, this will provide a map at time 1, which will push forward rho 0 to rho 1. So this is another possibility to construct a map, a smooth map, pushing forward rho 0 to rho 1. And so, in the at least in the literature, in some literature, this is known as the Moser's lemma. And this goes back to the 60s. And there was a sharpened version by Da Corogna and Moser in 1990, I guess. And so this is another map you can use for transportation. And there is some refinement in the Da Corogna-Moser theory that allows you to let all the points of the boundary fixed, which is not the case of this construction, because the map, the velocity field is tangent to the boundary, So the map will circulate the point along the boundary, but there is a refinement of this construction where you add some curly velocity field to the construction in order to keep all the points of the boundary untouched. And this can be, this is used in some application. By the way, in the first paper of Mother, there is a construction which is exactly what you call the Knotte map, I think. There are two possibilities, and one is is the Knotte map. Okay. So the Jürgen's Mother construction can be seen as a variational construction, which was, of course, not written this way. So this is a kind of transportation problem, if you wish. By the way, yeah, just an additional remark, because I mentioned that in the talk. So I believe, at least, that the Knotte map can be obtained in the Monge-Kantorovich framework, in the classical one, that is with K rho E is equal to rho C E of rho, provided you take a quadratic cos which is distorted according to the dimensions. So that is to say something like the sum of the square of the coordinates weighted by I, and you have a small parameter epsilon, and so I guess by letting epsilon going to zero, you should get back to the Knotte map. So the Knotte map is just anisotropic Monge-Kantorovich. Yeah, because you weight differently the different coordinates, so this will give you some lexicographic order. So this is why you first sort in the first direction, and then in the second, and then you get this triangular structure.
Okay.
UI square. Thank you.
And what other bases do you use then?
What other?
Other bases. Not such.
I think a direct way.
No, other ways instead of epsilon to power I.
Oh, I think. I really didn't check, but I think if you take any scale, this will be okay. I
mean, exactly the same error.
Well, I think so. Maybe I'm okay. This is a feeling, right? I mean, it's just a matter that to select.
Exercise.
Yeah. This homework, right? So maybe. Okay. So, of course, the other advantages is that you can add some constraint. So I think I will talk about that next week. So, for instance, you can, instead of working on the set of probability measures, you can work on the set of doubly stochastic probability measures. That is, measure on a product space, let's say, for which, for instance, the two margins are the Lebesgue measure, for instance. And this is very important because this is the generalized configuration space for incompressible fluid. This is really, in some sense, the weak closure of the group of volume-preserving diffeomorphism. And therefore, you can do a theory of generalized geodesics on this group of diffeomorphism by this kind of convex analysis tricks. And in some cases, this corresponds to the true problem. So it's not an abstract extension, but it fits with the true problem, which is linked to the Euler equation of incompressible fluid mechanics. Okay, so now I would like to discuss the extension to currents. So I will use some transparencies. And so, let me summarize what I discussed. So, distance between two points, we minimize this quantity along curves, and we have a way to do that in a generalized fashion, which is written below. So here I took the quadratic cost. So the formulation we saw, E square over rho, ds rho, blah, blah, blah. And now, and the next step was to extend that to general probability measure. just by using the fact that in this formulation we can use probability measure instead of points, point mass. So this is geodesic for fuzzy points in some sense. And so we have the new definition of the cost, which is here in the quadratic case, and the relationship with the Wasserstein distance, the Hamilton-Jacobi equation, with, when you have the interpolation variable, and I remind you that in the map, the corresponding map in the quadratic case corresponds to the Monge-Ampère equation. So, this is... it's very good because I can use two. And so now I would like to do... So, the mother construction was the idea of to use to use instead of E squared divided by rho, E squared. This was the construction we saw, and we have seen that this corresponds to the Poisson equation. And there is another interpretation. You know, I just gave this possibility E squared instead of E squared over rho, but this is very natural when you consider density that are very close to a uniform density. So consider that your two data are really fluctuation around a uniform density. There, it's pretty clear that if rho zero and rho one are close to one, capital E will be small in some sense. But rho will be of order 1, so the leading term is this one. So this is really the right approximation of the optimal transportation problem with quadratic cost when you are close to the uniform density. So the Poisson equation is revisited as giving the optimal map in this limiting case. And what you can also deduce by, of course, from the Monge-Ampère equation, because if the densities are close to 1, you can take phi to be close to x squared over 2. So the Hessian matrix will be close to the identity map, and expanding the determinant will give you the trace, and therefore the Poisson equation. So this is consistent. So now, the motivation of the generalization was really this observation that this is really electrostatic theory. So you have two, rho 0 and rho 1 can be seen as density charges, positive and negative charges in equilibrium, in global neutrality, and phi is the electrostatic potential generated by the discrepancy of the charges. Therefore, if we wish to do an extension of the theory to more general object, a natural candidate for extension will be the Maxwell equation, because the Maxwell equation generates an electromagnetic field by the discrepancy of a moving charge. So this is the idea to follow, I think. So the... And therefore, if I find my transparencies... Okay, maybe it should be one here. And therefore we have to go back to the meaning of electrodynamics with respect to electrostatics. So electrostatics is when you look at the electrostatic potential generated by point charges that are static. But electrodynamics has to do with moving charges. So the right picture... The right picture is to consider moving charges, and here and here these charge points move and they are time dependent, and so we have a new variable now, which is the time. And this is why I never used the letter T before for the interpolation variable, because it's very important to distinguish the time and the interpolation variable in this business. And therefore we have curves like that, And therefore, really the most natural way to extend the notion of geodesics is to consider minimal surfaces spanned by these curves. So we take a surface in R3, let's say, spanning the two curves, like this. And, the most natural object to consider is the area of the surface. But here we have several possible choices. We can consider that X of T and S to be a surface in R3, but it's better to include the parameter T and S in the construction and to consider that this is a surface in R5. This is the good way to recover a Maxwell equation, actually. And therefore, here I did the construction with the Minkowski metric because I wish to have some kind of time evolution dynamics which is of hyperbolic type. Okay, if I put a plus, then I will get an elliptic version of that, which probably it's easier to deal with. Okay, and so this is the formula for the area, which is a Cauchy-Binet construction. So we have the sum of the square of the time derivative, the S derivative, and this thing. And so therefore, the construction is quite standard, actually, to define a generalized surface. This is what the people do in geometric measure theory. Well, this is a current associated to the surface. So you have the rho as before. We have E, which is this measure multiplied by dsx, j by dt. And this is good to introduce B, which is this wedge product between the t and the s derivative of x. And therefore, you can play the same game as before by using the new functional will be this one, the square of the rho, and there is compatibility condition between this quantity, which is also standard if you write that with current. That is, we keep this relation between rho and E by symmetry. We have the same relation between rho and J, and there is relation linking the S derivative of J, the T derivative of E, and the curl of B. This is like a commutator for this derivative. Okay. So you can work out this theory, and at least you can check a consistency criterion that when you look at the simplified action, which is the same process as we used before in some sense, which amounts to consider that everything is a fluctuation around a uniform state, uniform density, and zero J. So we get this simplified functional E square minus B square. And because of the same trick I use already, that is to say that in the functional there is no rho and J, so the interpolation variable disappear, that is to say, rho and j will be linearly interpolated, and the field E and B will not depend on S for the same reason as we saw for the Poisson equation, and therefore we collapse to the Maxwell equation. So the Maxwell equation is the linearized version of this generalized minimal surface equation. So I think this is one possibility of extending the Monge-Kantorovich theory to more general objects than points. And of course, I would say in the elliptic case, when you take when we take the Euclidean metric, then we can rely on probably a lot of work is already available in geometric measure theory to do that. And I think this has some connection with the talk of Xia the other day, I guess. And in the hyperbolic case, however, which has not been so much studied, there is a lot of interesting open problem linked to nonlinear wave equation. And I should stop here. And I think maybe it's time to... okay, so I stop here and then... Very bad. No questions. Thank you.
And you were saying...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So everybody is very very tired, and so, but very happy to thank the organizers, especially Robert. And
yes.
For this message.